Hi, I'm Justin Boyd.
And I'm Rob Filicetti.
And we are the Watchers in the Basement. Welcome to the Watchers in the Basement today. Today we have a special episode. That's right, we're celebrating National Spider-Man Day. And, you know, Rob is in my favorite band of all time, Bowling for Soup. And I thought, wow, what a perfect way to have one of my favorite, you know, members of a band come on the show. And I know you're a big Spider-Man fan. So Rob, thanks for being here. How you doing today?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing good. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, it should be good. Well, actually, which is funny because I was a guest on your other show.
Yes, you were.
With Jason, and it's more centered on music and artists and all that. And we ended up spending about 30% of that talking about Spider-Man. So this is a more appropriate venue for the conversation.
Exactly. And for those of you out there, you might be wondering, like, why today? Why is today Spider-Man Day? Well, August 1st is National Spider-Man Day because the character made its first appearance on August 1st,
1961. 1962.
You're right. 1962. You're right. 1962. The character is 61 years old. That's what I missed my numbers. But yeah.
Honest mistake.
Yeah. August 1st, 1962. If you're watching us down YouTube or later on YouTube, you can see there's the first ever Spider-Man appearance in Amazing Fantasy number 15. It was written by Stan Lee, drawn by Steve Ditko. Rob, obviously you knew more about this than I do. Do you have a copy of this comic, or do you have this image somewhere, like in a, like framed or something?
I'm not a multimillionaire, so I don't have a, I don't have a copy of the comic. I do have a print, a really big print of it. And actually in like, we have like a, it's like a dining room slash kind of a bar lounge. So it's like kind of a bigger room. So if it was just a dining room, I'd never think of putting that up there. And I don't think my wife would let me. She probably would. But the fact that it's also coupled with this sort of bar and lounge area gives me a little more liberty to put up cool things in there.
Right.
So I have like flanked on either side of the bar. There's probably like a, it's like a, maybe a 40 inch print of Amazing Fantasy 15 on one side. And it's actually, that's the last issue of Amazing Fantasy. So they were that actual comic run, they like ran up. You know this? I'm sure you do.
But, well, then it became Amazing Spider-Man, right?
Well, eventually. That's basically how it went. But Amazing Fantasy was just like this series of different stories, obviously, that would introduce a new character each time. And I guess it was just like its run was up at number 15 and they put out Spider-Man. And then it was done, but people wanted more Spider-Man. So that's what drove them to do it. And that's where they took the amazing from it to make it called the Amazing Spider-Man. That's why that comic series is called that. So yeah, which brings me to the other side. So I have Amazing Fantasy 15 on one side. And then the other side is Amazing Spider-Man number one, which was, I think, May of 1963.
Okay.
Pretty sure, but I know it was less than a year. It was the next year, but it was less than a year since Amazing Fantasy 15 came out.
Yeah, it was. I mean, Spider-Man became an instant, you know, success and a very popular character. And now today, for many years, Spider-Man has been widely regarded as the most popular character, the most popular superhero of all of them. So,
yeah.
And I would guess to say, adventure guess that he's your favorite, right?
Yes. I mean, yeah. By a long shot. I mean, it's pretty much the first, and that's the thing though. So I'm very, like, with things that I like, I don't dive totally in. Like, there's a lot of Spider-Man that I don't give a shit about.
Okay.
You know, like, just in general, like I'm the biggest fan of just like the core basic story of it. And when that's been redone through comics and cartoons and movies, but selectively, I'm kind of an ass about that.
Okay.
Just because I think it's the iconic like 60s look is the coolest, obviously. And it's just like, it's just neat that's how it started. And it was really like this underdog thing that they didn't think anything was going to come of it. And then it became, like you said, today it's probably one of the most popular superheroes of all time. But I could go pretty good on some like trivia on it. But if someone were to craft some Spider-Man trivia about all of it, I might fall short on a lot of that stuff.
Well, I mean, I love
there's so much.
There's so much. Yeah. I mean, that, and like, even like you say, you're just kind of focused on the classic Spider-Man.
Yeah.
There's so much. I mean, you know, 61 years of that character, and, you know, he has so many villains in the rogues gallery of characters. And that's part of what makes Spider-Man great. There's just,
even with Spider-Man himself, when it starts branching out, where it's like, now it's a dude named Ben Reilly and Peter Parker was the clone the whole time. I'm like, it gets muddied up, but I get it. Like you said, there's so many years, they need to keep it interesting. So they made a lot of different stories. There's the Spectacular Spider-Man. They redid the Amazing Spider-Man. I think, like, wasn't that like 20 years ago or something? They just sort of restarted the comic series.
Ultimate Spider-Man, which is kind of what the Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield, those movies were based on the Ultimate Spider-Man run.
Oh, is that right? I don't think I even knew that.
Which was like from 2000 to 2009. So that run ended in the comics, and they took that storyline and kind of took it to the screen to start over after the Tobey Maguire movie. So
yeah, I'm sure we'll get into the movies at some point.
Oh yeah, we're going to talk heavily.
Next, 45 minutes.
Yeah, we're going to go heavily into the movies because I have read some comics, but I am not a comic expert by any stretch of the imagination. I was going to ask you, did you grow up reading Spider-Man comics?
Yeah, but it was more like, it's kind of funny. So I grew up in most of my growing up was the 90s, you know, late 80s, but most of it with the stuff I was really getting into was like the 90s. Like when I started collecting any of the comic books, like with my brother and my cousins, it was more about the cover art. I mean, that's really, which is crazy. There's like a whole thing with that. But I mean, there's the cover art is what sold it. The books themselves were actually usually kind of confusing or boring a lot of them, not all of them. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of great stuff there. I'm not talking Spider-Man comic books, but we'd always be looking for the cool classic Amazing Spider-Man covers. Basically, when we'd go to the comic shop and thumb through all the boxes when they don't know what they have and you find something really cool. I have an actual graded, it's at 7, I think, of a 252, the black costume.
Okay. Yeah.
The one where it looks like Amazing Fantasy 15, but he's holding two people and it's a black costume. That's over there somewhere. I have like a Spider-Man shelf. It was more about that, but I was a big fan of that 90s cartoon. That had the intro was done by the dude from Aerosmith or whatever.
Yeah. Joe, and Joe Tyler. Is it? No, Joe Perry. Joe Perry.
Yeah. Yep. There. That's what it was. Yeah. Is, right. That's who did that.
Yeah.
And it was that that's probably what really wrote me in. I had like this little tiny Spider-Man action figure as a kid who was stuck in this pose. Cause you put like these two strings on them and you can like send them down shit or whatever. And, I had a couple other ones that were more articulated and like some really old classic things from like the 70s that were just passed down, you know, and I just had this cool little collection of Spider-Man stuff. So that's why it was the first fictional character I ever really cared about. So by the time that cartoon came around and I was already collecting those comic covers, I was just like, well, I was sort of roped into that.
Yeah. And also like this is something I've talked to this about this before, but I mean, Spider-Man means a lot to you, and also partially because you're from Queens, just like Spider-Man, right?
That's right. And that has a lot to do with it. And it really does, because when you're a kid, you think everyone's where you're from. You think that's where everybody's from.
Yeah.
So it just didn't really occur to me much. I was like, oh, it's another kid from Queens. Right. And he was always marketed as being a teenager. Like that was a big part of the push, right? He's the first superhero that wasn't like some rich loaded dude.
Right.
You know, or like well off guy.
Yeah,
wasn't like a Batman or like just a regular dude like Clark Kent was, even though he's an alien.
He's not an alien. He's not a rich guy. He's not. Yeah, not
he's
a,
none
a,
of yes.
A god from another world. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. He's none of the above. He's just a kid, and he's like from Queens who gets picked on, and it's the whole. What was the whole thing? He wanted him to be relatable to the people that were buying the comic books.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I can't believe it took them that long to think of that, but it worked out well.
Yeah, he gets bit by a radioactive spider and. We're off and running. Yeah.
Who hasn't? But yeah, it's so he's from Forest Hills, Queens, I think.
Okay.
So that's a few towns over from where I'm from.
So yeah, that had to be cool growing up. Like, cause like I'm from West Texas where there's no superheroes from West Texas, like small towns there. So like to see, you know, this character that you love from your hometown.
Actually, on that, remember that show, Heroes. I don't remember what network it was on. This is from like 20 NBC.
Yeah, I think. It was on NBC. I never watched it though, but I remember.
Okay, it was
yeah.
actually pretty. The first like couple seasons are pretty decent. Or first season, I think there's only two or three.
Okay,
first season is really good, but like the main character is this girl from Odessa, Texas.
Oh, from Odessa. Okay,
it was like the only super powered person from like middle Texas. Of nowhere, Texas. Like who goes to Odessa?
And she was a cheerleader, right? Because she was like, sure for like Odessa Permian, like high school or something. It was probably part of like Friday Night Lights. Yeah.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So it was cool. I mean, it's again, he had that Spider-Man has that going for him. He's from New York City, at least. Because his character wouldn't make sense in most other places.
Yeah.
Like what he does, right? I mean, it's obviously written that way, but he wouldn't work so well where I live in the Poconos in Pennsylvania.
Right. Or in West Texas where there's no buildings that you can like, you know, shoot your web sling, you know, you can't fly, you know, swing around the city or town or whatever. If
it's cool how they sort of address that in what I think is the best iteration of Spider-Man in his first standalone movie in Spider-Man Homecoming, which is the first, not the first movie that Tom Holland portrays Spider-Man, but it's his first own movie where it's like, he's the guy. But none of that movie really takes place of him like cruising around Manhattan, you know, flying around and stuff, where there's a couple of things where he's out in Queens and he's got to like chase a car down and he's like, he's crafty. He can't swing from tree. He's like jumping over roofs and into people's lawns and actually on foot the whole time.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. That's what I love the most about the MCU's take on Spider-Man is that they got creative with it for once.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, do you think it was, I mean, obviously they've done very well. The MCU is, you know, the biggest movie franchise ever. But do you think because we already had Spider-Man, you had two of the versions, like they kind of had to be different and they wanted to weave him into the MCU.
Yeah.
I think it was like, you're right, it was very creative. But I like what they did because I know there's some people out there who they don't like the MCU version of Spider-Man because Tony Stark is his like, you know, he's like a Robin to Tony Stark's Batman, whereas I like him having a mentor who's also the main character of the MCU. You
know? I'm with you on that for a couple reasons. So I think a lot of the people that hate on Tom Holland as Spider-Man, it's just because like it's cooler to like the old stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's like anything. Like it's all this is new, so it's not as cool as the old stuff, even though the old stuff is not as good. So,
right.
The whole Tony Stark mentor thing, I think, is cool because they're like making it a little more practical in my opinion, where he would have all these awesome things that he uses to be Spider-Man. And it's cool how they've stripped it down now after he's had the experience of all that, like how the story's gotten at this point, how he's got nothing now.
Yeah.
So he has to use his smart, but his experience and what he's learned over the years. But, it was more about that, like him having that cool suit, which great because the eyes emote, which is the first time they ever did that, which does a whole lot because that's how a lot of that in the comic books and cartoons was, you know, his eyes going from big to small.
Yeah.
How do you make that practically with a 15-year-old from Queens who has no money? So like he's got this multi-million-dollar suit that looks like the classic Spider-Man suit that does all the cool things. And then on top of that, like he would look up to that dude. You know what I mean? He's a kid. Like he would need somebody to sort of guide him through that. And I think that's the perfect relationship, especially in this big integrated world. They're going like where all the comics would cross into each other. That's what the MCU is going for. Like it's not each these standalone tales where they like sort of would maybe like, of course, all these people are going to cross paths and do stuff together. Like it's world ending stuff. So they kind of, who would you go for?
Right.
Yeah. The guy that can summon lightning from the sky is gonna, you know what I mean? Like you're gonna rally.
Yeah, no, and I think with Tom Holland Spider-Man, even though like Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield, like their characters basically start in the same place. They're all like, you know, beginning of high school, in high school. But the difference with Tom Holland is he actually looks like a high schooler, whereas
I'm so glad you're going with that.
They're both like they're in their 20s because they are in their 20s, you know.
Well,
like
Andrew Garfield more so looks a little more the part because I've seen, you know, he's just tall and lanky and he's got, I mean, he maybe some, but Tobey Maguire at no point, I think he was like 29 when they did that, and he does not look like he's supposed to be, I guess in that one they're seniors, so he's supposed to be like 17 or 18 or whatever.
Right.
Doesn't look it to me. So yeah, Tom Holland was, I think, was 18 when they shot the first thing with him, and he looks like it, and he looks younger than that, which he's supposed to be. I think he enters the movies at like 14 or something, right? Like that's the age they've
got. Yeah, right. Yeah, at 14. Yeah, when he comes in Captain America: Civil War, he's 14.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's like ninth or tenth grade or something, which
is
right on with what it's supposed to be, which is the whole point, like a huge point of the character, right? Like you want.
Yeah.
That's what makes him different than everybody else, that he's not this grown ass dude. We, you know, as we went over.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's perfect casting, and for that to work. And also he was kind of an unknown, you know, whereas obviously Tobey Maguire wasn't unknown. Andrew Garfield, I guess if you saw like The Social Network, he was in that movie, the movie about Facebook, but.
Oh yeah. It's actually great. And that's the thing. All three dudes that have played Spider-Man are awesome actors in everything. Yeah. And I'm not just saying that, 'cause it's like, I have this like unpopular opinion about the other ones, but Tobey Maguire should never have been cast as a likable teenager, because in my opinion and stuff I've seen him in, his strengths as an actor are like intense. And like sometimes, like there's this movie where he plays this like psychotic dude who's like losing it. And it's like this great performance. And it's like, wow, he's really good at that. He's not likable as Peter Parker. You know, he's like, it's not his fault entirely, because directing is by a dude who did Army of Darkness, like the campiest horror movie of all time, which is great in its own way, but it's just like an odd choice to direct a Spider-Man film, right? And then the Andrew Garfield thing, they went to like Twilight with it. You know what I mean? Like the love story, which is fine. Yeah. It's all part of it, but it's like, it's too serious, but then it's so silly, right? It's supposed to be this, they're trying to make, I guess I'm gonna go off on a tangent here, but the Tobey Maguire ones with the Sam Raimi's ones, I should say, where Tobey Maguire plays Peter Parker, it's like he's trying to make it look like a comic book, but it's just the acting is bizarre. Like it's not the actor's fault, it's the direction, right? But the lines they're saying are like lines that people would never say to each other. He starts like reciting poetry to MJ at one point. It's like, it's just nothing that a college kid would do.
Well, but Doc Ock told him that's the way to do it, though.
Oh, I know. But like even him, like Alfred Molina is a great actor, but like he's just like, Doc Ock is ridiculous. And that everyone knows of those three, that second one's the best of those.
Yes, by far.
I'd say that's a pretty popular opinion.
Yes.
Yeah. But with like Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield, they like he acts more like a teenager. The dialogue between people seems a little more real and natural, like people, humans would talk to each other. They rehash the whole Uncle Ben thing again, like, so that's the problem with that movie. They sort of just like, they're trying to act like people forgot about the other one, so they didn't really try anything different, except for the like tone of the movie. But it's in juxtaposition of this ridiculous looking lizard man, like trying to turn people into reptiles. You know what I mean? Like the plot's so silly, but they're trying to be serious. So that's where that one falls flat. And then the second one might be the worst movie of all time, besides like The Phantom Menace or something. But
really? So do you think Amazing Spider-Man 2 is worse than Spider-Man 3 from Tobey Maguire and Sam Raimi?
To say yes would imply that I give Spider-Man 3 any credit at all as a movie. And it's lazy to say, oh, they're equally as bad. You know what I mean? So it's like, if you're
I think Amazing Spider-Man 2 is better, but I think only because Spider-Man 3 has so much, it's so overstuffed with villains and just too much.
Sam Raimi himself said like he didn't want to do the Venom thing, but he was sort of pushed into it, and he said, he even admitted, he's like, I don't understand this character.
Yeah.
And I was, all right, you should have pushed back a little harder then, because it clearly shows you didn't understand this character or anything for that matter. That movie is ridiculous. Like it's never stopped. It's kind of like, that's what I compared I forget what it's called, because I get the names all mixed up, but the most recent, the last of the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
The
Rise of Skywalker.
Yes.
That terrible movie. Terrible.
Oh, it's awful. Yeah, but I compare it to in the way where like, that movie from start to end, you don't get a break to breathe and process anything that's going on. It's just shit just keeps getting thrown at you the entire time. And that's what Spider-Man 3 is like. Like it's nonstop. And it's awful and it's terrible. And and like it's just cluttered. But Amazing Spider-Man 2 is terrible because it seems like they're trying to rush into things too, like with the Green Goblin. Yeah. Like, well, this kid, you know, what I always said about if that kid, if Harry Osborn in Amazing Spider-Man 2, if he wasn't told that he had a genetic illness,
right,
he would have never gotten sick.
No,
if you notice, it only starts affecting him at all until he's told that it's part of his like bloodline or something. Then he gets all, whatever is happening to him, scabby and green and whatever.
He literally comes back because his dad, Norman Osborn, has died from the same genetic disorder, right? And then he's now it's like his company. He's back from, he went to college in London or something.
Yeah, they really breezed over that so quickly that I completely forgot.
And then literally the next day, he's like telling Peter, like, I need to talk to Spider-Man because I'm dying. It happens so fast. And
that's
like,
what I'm saying. It's like, I feel it's almost like writing wise, if he was never told that, he'd be totally fine.
Yeah, he would have been good. Like, hey, I'm rich. I got this company. Like,
Everything's things are great. Good.
Yeah, everything's great. Like,
oh, and then with why can't Jamie Foxx as Electro?
Electro, right.
Like, what, he's a great actor and everything he's in, except the Amazing Spider-Man 2. He's ridiculous. He acts, and it's ironic to say this, he's like a cartoon character, because they are cartoon characters, right? But that the movie's going for a more serious thing, so it seems absurd. Like how he turns into this, and when everyone always has all these Bluetooth things in their ears whenever they become like supervillains, and he's got the suit, and he's got all this stuff, and it's all from Oscorp, and they're just like, it's all lazy writing to me. Like, whenever there's a millionaire in the mix, everyone just defaults to that, to go, here's how we do everything. And I guess I know that goes against what I was saying earlier with Peter Parker getting the suit, but that sort of built up over the
Tony Stark was established over,
there you go.
That's before Spider-Man comes into the picture. We've had Iron Man for almost 10 years.
He's been like an international icon for years.
Right. And it just would make sense that if you're starting Peter Parker as a 14, 15 year old, like, you're right, he's going to look up to the Avengers who have already been on the scene and everyone knows who they are. And
it's not like he'd never heard of them.
Right. Exactly. Especially for someone like him who wants to like work for newspapers I guess with Tom Holland, we don't really have that yet as far as.
Yeah. But again, he's
photographer.
They've sort of set up, because now it's like the way his story is left right now.
Right.
They can do whatever they want with it. Like it's a reset button.
Yeah,
which is kind of cool, but with having all the experience he's had,
right?
So I think they're going to sort of now start a semi-similar story to what the other guys went through. You know what I mean? And it almost makes sense where they're like, because now he's starting off on this foot, and he's like, however old he's supposed to be. I think he's still like 18 or something. He's exactly just about to graduate high, or he right at the end of the thing. He's got like a GED book or something like that,
right?
Because no one knows. That whole thing, like the Peter Parker doesn't exist anymore. There's a couple things I think they need to figure out how to loophole, but I think they'll write themselves out of it. They're pretty good at that.
Yeah, no, but you're right. It is like a reset where they can kind of go in any direction, and it is really smart. I am wondering like when we're going to get that direction though, because with the writer's strike and now the actor's strike it's not like, I don't think we're going to see a Spider-Man movie until 2026 at the earliest, maybe late 2025. If everything were to like fall into place tomorrow,
it's still going to be a while. I know they started it.
Well, they started pre-production or whatever,
That's what I mean. Like, I don't think there were filming things happening, it's in this day and age, I guess literally they can make anything happen that they want to.
Right.
Whenever they do get back to work. So I'm hopeful that it's going to continue as good as it's been going. Cause Spider-Man in 2002, and I remember seeing those commercials on TV when it was coming out, like, wow, okay, this is the not first live action Spider-Man, but let's consider it the first, because before that was that ridiculous show that had like one season in the 70s with the dude who was supposed to be a college student, but he looked like he was 48.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I'm talking about? Well, I guess everyone, for some reason in the 70s, everyone looked like that, but
right. No, you're right. Yeah. 28 year old looked like he was 45.
Yeah. But that one where he works as like a lab tech, you know which one I'm talking about?
Oh yeah.
Wasn't it just called Spider-Man?
It's just called Spider-Man. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there was the Japanese one where he's an alien from outer space and he uses a belt and he gets in that big, have you ever seen that one? That one's absurd.
I saw like there's a little bit of a documentary, like an episode on Disney Plus about the Japanese Spider-Man. So I saw that, but I've never actually seen anything besides like
they just
like
made up a whole other story. He's a Japanese dude named something else, and he's an alien.
But he looks like Spider-Man. Yeah.
But yeah, he's dressed like him. Yeah. Do you know the first ever actual live action appearance of Spider-Man?
First ever live action. I don't.
Okay, so there is that. It's in the 70s, and it was just on a TV show called The Electric Company.
Oh,
and he's just like a cameo, like a bit. It was basically it. It was just a guy in a shitty Spider-Man suit doing like a, I don't even remember what it was, just like a little bit. And that was really it. And then after the live-action show, which I think happened around the same time as The Hulk.
Yeah, I was about to say, I wonder if there's ever a crossover, because I did watch The Hulk.
Me too. They never crossed them over. Because back then, it would be so hard to do that stuff.
Thor was on The Hulk, though.
Briefly. Thor was, yeah. Or like fights him in a lake or something. Yeah. And like throws a bear. Or yeah, so then there was really nothing. Like there was no live action version of it. You couldn't really see anything except for there's the cartoon where he's like best friends with the Human Torch for some reason. Mm-hmm. From like the 80s, I think. And then that was like Spider-Man and his amazing friends, I think.
Yep.
And then the 90s, like the Spider-Man cartoon, the 90s came out. And that was the most like comic accurate one at that point. I mean, they started it off different. But it's about the same story. Like it's obviously heavily based on the comics. Mm-hmm. And it feels more like it looks more like a comic book. Animation was 1,000 times better than it was even 10 years before that. So it's this looking. I think the first villain on that show, if I'm not wrong, is the Lizard. I can't remember if that's it or not.
It's also on Disney Plus. I did check it out a couple of years back just to like see.
Oh, it is?
Held up. Yeah, it's. I think all of that stuff is. All the stuff we've kind of talked about, except for that Electric show, Electric Company,
yeah,
whatever.
Sure.
Yeah, that's not. But all
I'll
those,
have to give it a watch.
Those early animated, all that stuff is on Disney Plus because there's a lot of Spider-Man. You're right. Before we got the 2002 movie of Tobey Maguire, there was a lot of Spider-Man stuff.
Well, that's kind of what I was getting at is that. Yeah. The 90s was sort of dominated with Spider-Man wise by that cartoon. Even the comic books took a halt then.
Yeah.
Well, most comic books did. They weren't popular anymore by the time like the early 90s came around. So that show was like, that was it. And that's probably why it like had my focus so much like on it. And it had like this awesome line of action figures. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
And then, by the time it was done, it's only a couple of years after when I remember seeing the trailer for Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire. And that trailer is like done perfectly. You see just enough of him. There's a lot of cool stuff. So, you know, that movie came out. I was 16 or something like that. And I had no choice but to love it. And by that, what I mean is it was the only option of anything that looked that cool. And it kind of looked like the cartoon. It was really colorful.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess when you're 16, you're not like you're looking for something different in a movie than when you're like in a full ass adult.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
So at the time, that movie did everything I needed it to. It looked great. The costume looked cool. It didn't make any sense that he could make that, but it didn't matter.
Yeah.
It's really like looking back on it, it's super campy. Actually, the other day, Jarrett and I were in a hotel, and like I was just flipping through channels, and it was on. I'm like, I haven't seen this in so long, and turned it on. I'm like, yep, this is exactly what I remember it. Like the last time I saw it, probably 10 years ago.
I still think it's great though. Cause like for me, like I'm a little bit older than you, but like, I remember like, growing up superhero movies, we had Superman movies, which I like Superman a lot, but the first two are okay. The second two are terrible.
Yeah. I know that
89 Batman was great.
Yeah.
And then Batman, as it continued, kind of trailed off, of course.
So, but that's a great example though, of an odd choice for director doing it awesome with it. Like Tim Burton. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like a weird, campy movie director doing Batman, and it came out awesome. So yeah. That's what they're going for, I think, when they chose Sam Raimi to do it.
Yeah. No, I still think that the first two are still good movies. I mean, when you compare them to what we got with the MCU and Tom Holland, those movies, they don't compare with those. But I still think they hold up okay, and I still think that Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man suit. It's still my favorite one in the movies. Like I know it's so simple, but it's like, it's very, I don't know. It's very like textured and very designed. I don't know. I like the design of that one I mean, the color is not maybe my favorite, but I do like the look of that suit. What's your favorite Spider-Man suit in the movies?
Well, it's my honest answer. I'm not just saying this. It's the end of No Way Home.
Oh, okay.
When Peter first makes his like a real attempt at his Spider-Man suit. I think it's the coolest looking one. I miss the back spider that he had on the Tony Stark made suit, the classic round one. But again, it's coming back to me loving the classic stuff so much.
Yeah.
But that one's more like that's not even a Ditko one. That's more like a Romita Jr. like style. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The colors, like the really bright blue.
Yeah, right.
And the way the eyes look, because they're sort of what they've looked like so far in the MCU versions. But the Raimi one is like, no matter what he's doing, unless it's CGI, he just looks so uncomfortable and stiff. That's what I don't like about it. And it's like his neck always looks like really weird and sick. And like, it's just the way it makes his body look looks absurd to me. Like, and maybe it's just his body shape, but like his arms look really short in it, you know? Like, that's what I don't like about it, is that it just doesn't, when he's standing there and it's the actual guy in the actual suit, it doesn't look like he could possibly do the stuff that Spider-Man does. Because then when they CGI that and he's flipping around and agile. Right. But when he's actually standing there, you can't even believe that that's the same person. That's what I don't like about the suit. And I don't like the eyes either. They're too pointy. But that's like a different style. They're going for an angular thing, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, they're like triangles.
Yeah.
The Andrew Garfield one for the first movie, I like that they tried something different. His eyes are yellow and everything's really
well. He has like the sunglasses lens.
Yeah. And it is cool how it's like he kind of bought it in a catalog and just like changed it up, you know? Yeah. Kind of like that. It just, and the one after The Amazing Spider-Man 2, that's what a lot of people always say their favorite one is. Cause it's got like
that
the Todd McFarlane eyes, you know, like the big ones. Mm-hmm. And he's got a cool build for Spider-Man because he is like so thin and lanky, right? So when he does look convincing, like that he could be that agile and do all this stuff. And obviously Tom Holland, because he can physically do all that stuff.
Yeah, he can do the flips and everything, and he does a lot of that stuff. So
His first the Tony Stark suit that he made him is, I think, is awesome. But it has like these unnecessary things, but I know what they were doing. Like, if it has like those kind of those black borders and everything. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you're like, you have to remember, it's like Iron Man made this. So it's going to have like different features, right? So it's cool. That one's awesome because it's really classic looking. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, it didn't, it's not, it, then he makes his own. It's like all black and stuff. It's kind of cool. The Iron Spider ones, that's when he's basically Iron Man Jr. because that thing does everything.
Yeah. Right.
So that's what's cool about how he's got all of his toys taken away from him now. And he had to just does it himself. So you can see it at the end of that last movie. There's like a sewing machine on his table and like the fabrics there. So it's like, oh, cool. We're back to that. Like, he made his own thing.
Yeah.
With more experience now. That's why it doesn't look like the sweatsuit he's wearing in the other one. Because that's what a 14-year-old would do.
That's what I would do too. Because I wouldn't be able to figure it out. Yeah. Right.
He's a genius, you know?
Yeah.
So he's figured this out now.
Yeah, exactly. No, honestly, like, I like all the suits in all the movies. The problem I have with the Tony Stark ones or the Iron Man ones, they're too overpowered. Like, he has so much, they're like super suits, and he also has powers of his own. Like, it's kind of overkill. I mean, granted, in the scenarios, he needs that stuff and it works out. They make it make sense.
But it's like if too much. All the features that it has, like what does he call her? Karen, like the AI.
Yeah.
Those were like, it's cool because they're kind of written. Like, the movie isn't written around those. Those are written into what, like, it's, you know what I mean? Where it's cool because it's like a way of saying he's not ready for all of this shit yet, because he like hacks it. Right. And then it's like, doesn't do what he needs it to do, cause he doesn't know how to use it yet. So that's like another thing showing him. I like how he gets the suit taken away and then he has to figure it out, and he's back to his like nothingness, which is cool. I think that's why it's neat that suit was like super overpowered and stuff, because it's like a way of showing like he's not ready for this yet. He still is a clumsy kid. He's not like, he gets bit by the spider and all of a sudden is this serious guy who can just knows how to be a superhero. He's just a dumb, clumsy kid. Well, not dumb, he's a genius, but
Yeah, no, but I understand. Yeah, exactly. Just to kind of like, we'll move through the different movie versions, but to go back to the Tobey Maguire one, obviously you're a musician, you're playing in bands. Let's talk about the music from those movies, because I think one of my favorite things about
Come on, they got one of the best composers.
No, I'm not talking about, yeah, the Danny Elfman music's great. I think all the composers that we get throughout the movies, Danny Elfman, we get Hans Zimmer with Amazing Spider-Man, we get Michael Giacchino with the Homecoming movies or the Home movies.
Yeah, whatever you call those.
What I want to talk about is in Spider-Man 2, I think it's the best song by a rock band in any superhero movie, Vindicated by Dashboard Confessional. Do you have any thoughts on Vindicated, on Dashboard Confessional? Have you ever played or met that band? Like, what's your take on the song?
I actually completely forgot that's in that. It's like on the, it's like in the credits. When the credits roll, there's all these like early 2000s like rock hit. I think there's like a Nickelback song or something in there too.
Nickelback is on the first one. Hero. It's not Nickelback. It's the singer.
With like a collab, right? I remember that. That's right. Yeah. So that's right. Dashboard Confessional is in that one.
Yeah.
And I just remember, I guess it's weird because it was just at the time when it's happening. I'm like, what the hell is this song doing in this movie? Like when the credits are rolling, because I'm expecting to hear like a score.
Right.
You know what I mean? With like a superhero movie like that, you're expecting to hear the whole symphony. Like
the superhero
thing.
Sounds. Yeah.
But then there's just some rock music playing. I've done shows at Dashboard Confessional before over the years.
Yeah.
Actually, ironically, not since I've been in BFS, but in other bands, like festivals and stuff. And I met that guy Chris before. He's really nice.
Yeah,
it's really quiet.
That song though, like if you listen to the lyrics or read the lyrics, it's about Spider-Man. Like it's a Is rock it? Song. Yeah. Like it's
was it, it was written for the movie?
It was written for the movie. He got
was like a hit.
Yeah, he got to see the movie. They sent in the movie, and he wrote the song after he watched the movie. And if you listen to it, like, you know, my hope dangles on a string, like,
I had no
redemption.
Idea.
Yeah. Like it's,
I just remember that song being on the radio.
I remember seeing the music video, which I guess they don't do music videos anymore, but, but I remember that video, cause the video was like so perfectly done with the story of the movie. I was like, this is such a great,
makes
the song.
A lot of sense. Yeah. I really had no idea that it was written for it.
And I think it's like, honestly, not that a ton of superhero movies that nowadays have rock music, or if they do, they're like needle drop, like older music.
Yeah. But well, like Guardians of the Galaxy is like based around that.
Right. But like music that was written by, you know, at that time, a current band for a movie. I think it's the best one. It's one of my favorite songs anyway, but it's just such a great song. And it perfectly
you just taught me something about that. I had no idea.
Well,
that was the second one.
Second movie. Yeah. The first second movie one. Had a song called Hero, and it was by Nickelback's Chad Kroeger and Josie Scott from
Saliva. Right? That's who it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Saliva. Yeah.
I remember that video. It's terrible. They're like playing on a rooftop.
Yeah. I mean, no offense to those bands. Artists,
it's not.
But
they didn't direct it. They're just playing.
It's not one of my favorite songs either. I remember
at the time, I even thought it looked cheesy because it's like they're trying to, on a music video budget, make it look like this multi-million dollar movie that just had all this money put into it. And like, and he's like, Spider-Man's in it. Like there's clips of him and it's like really odd editing. I remember that, like seeing him like land on the building where they're at or like jump off of it or.
Yeah. They're just splicing clips of the movie into the video,
but then trying to animate it to the scene that they're, cause they're like on a rooftop or something. Right. Yeah.
And then Sum 41 had a song on the first movie also. It's like right after the Hero song finishes in the credits, they go to it. And it's not one of their hit songs, but it was like,
Different because I actually know those guys at this point. Okay. So now that's odd that I don't know that.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. They have a song. I can't remember what it's kind of in my head, but I can't think of what it's called, but it's like something like, this is what we live for. They say that part in the song. Anyway, I thought that's pretty cool.
All right. I'll have to look that up.
At that time, you know, because like,
is it like old school rap rock? Sum 41.
There is, there's metal. There's some of that. Yeah. It's kind of,
it's gotta be the Beastie Boys thing they would do.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. Yeah.
Well, I'm in, I gotta listen to that.
Yeah. That's cool. One of my other favorite moments from those movies is, this is, you know, obviously, you know, Jason very well. He's in the Jarrett Ray Reddick band with you also. The Macho Man, Randy Savage appearance as Bonesaw McGraw.
Yeah.
Because with me and Jason, our podcast, which is, you know, Let's Freaking Do This. Before every podcast, when I ask Jason, are you ready to go? He always says, Bonesaw's ready. So that will live on forever because Jason won't let it die. But
he always looks like he has such a hard time saying that. Like every time I watch it, it looks like he's having such a hard time just saying that line.
Yeah.
Bonesaw's ready.
But to get Macho Man Randy Savage in that movie, it, obviously that's part of how he becomes Spider-Man because he enters this contest.
Yeah. Like they went right to the thing. However, do you remember the name of the actual wrestler that in the Amazing Fantasy 15 that he wrestles for that same thing? It's Crusher Hogan.
Crusher. Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah. I have heard that before.
And you just see like one quick frame of him. It's just like right. Some big bald dude or something.
So, going back to what I was talking about with Sum 41, our producer Brittany, she found the title. It's called What We're All About.
Oh, I see.
It's the Sum 41 song. So
that title like seems familiar.
Yeah,
maybe so, I do know that song.
Yeah, so let's check that out after the show. But yeah. Anyway, like I think the villains are pretty good in the original Spider-Man movies. You know, we get introduced to obviously Green Goblin with Norman Osborn.
That's great casting. Yeah. I get that. Yeah. I mean, for those first two, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, Willem Dafoe as Green Goblin's awesome. And I'll talk all the shit in the world in those movies, but man, he's so good at that role, even with the awful script he was handed. But yeah, I mean, he does the whole thing. I get it's campy and it's kind of supposed to be, right? Like that's what Sam Raimi does, but
right.
They're showing those like flight tests earlier in the movie. Cause it's obviously the suit comes from Oscorp because it's their military contracted or almost contracted to do the thing. Why they would invent that for the military, I have no idea. It seems incredibly impractical. But on top of that, like, sure, I get the flight suit and the glider, but why on earth would Oscorp sink like $300,000 into a goblin helmet to try and sell that to the military?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the rest of the suit, sure, I understand. But the helmet? Why on earth? Who would have approved that? Like when they were like designing this flight suit. Like, and let's just make it look like this cartoon goblin.
Right.
That makes absolutely no sense at all. But yeah, and they even sort of address that when he comes back in No Way Home. Like the first thing he does is just smash the helmet right away.
Smash the helmet, yeah.
Well, it's like, why would you hide his face? He has like such an emotive face. Why would you hide it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Willem Dafoe, a lot of people thought like really wanted him to play Joker because he kind of has that Joker face as a
he can make person. The crazy face. He can
Right. Is there anything else from those first movies that you want to touch on that we haven't mentioned? I mean, obviously Spider-Man 3 has Venom, it has Sandman,
Spider-Man 3 has too many problems to even get into. Like and it's all rushed too. They're like throw the Sandman thing in there, and like, but before you even get to know who that character is, he's already supposed to have this like arc where it's like he's not all that bad. He's doing it for his daughter, and like, oh god, what's his name? Harry Osborn. James Franco is Harry Osborn. Like his like stupid little surfboard.
Yeah,
like they're just like, well, and I get. I mean, at that point, they're like, we already know we can't just have him wear the same suit again. So just get like, I don't know where he. Who built that for him? Like, I get that he runs the company or something, or it has like some sort of high shares in it, but is he going to someone and like, hey, by the way, I injected myself with a crazy serum, so can you just build me like $1 million thing so I can go kill Spider-Man? You know what I mean? Like, they just don't think of these things. Like, or was it in that like vault behind the brick wall?
You know, his dad had all that stuff and he discovered it at the end of
movie. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so it already all existed. Okay, right. All right, I'll give him that.
Right, but then you know, remember in Spider-Man 3, he gets amnesia early on in the movie.
Because he gets knocked, like hits a pipe or something.
Yeah, well, he's chasing Spider-Man through. He is flying through, you know, Manhattan or wherever, and he hits a pipe and
which is crazy. And then he gets knocked out, and has amnesia. They're supposed to be pretty evenly matched. Like that's kind of the point.
Right.
So when he like. Falls and crashes and hits his head on that pipe, like Spider-Man already did that like in a different movie and he was fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of Spider-Man, this Peter Parker.
That's what I want you to mention. So Peter Parker's had such a big impact on your life that you named your son after him, right?
I did. This is Pete. He's going to bed right now, though, so I'm going to hand him back over.
Yeah, good to see you, Pete.
Say bye. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, he's being shy. Good night, monkey. Okay.
Love you, Pete.
But yeah, your son's middle name is Parker.
Yes. So, yeah. Well, so my wife's dad's named Pete.
Okay.
So it was like, and he grew up with like five sisters, and he has three daughters, and he has a bunch of granddaughters. So I'm like, we have to name this kid Pete. And I've always had like, I didn't always know I was going to have a kid, but I was like, yeah. If I ever have a kid and it's a dude, I want to name him Peter Parker for Lacetti. I like knew that. So I was like, oh my God, this is perfect.
Yeah. No, that's,
and like, who cares about middle names? It's great.
No, it's perfect. I mean, I go by my middle name, so I care, but I understand.
Oh, you do?
Like, that's, yeah, I do. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
So, but yeah, no, that's super cool. I remember that's what I found out last time I talked to you. I was like, oh, we've got to talk about that on the podcast.
Yeah, also. There he was. That was Peter Parker.
There aren't too many people that name their kid after a superhero character. So
yeah,
very cool.
Well, it's also like when you just look at his name, it's just Pete Felicetti. So,
oh, right. Yeah. Right.
So he's not going to get made fun of too much.
No, but then like in the first day of school, if they do the full name, it'll be kind of cool. Like the kids that know are going to be like, yeah, that's a cool kid.
Yeah. You get that out of the way when they're like kids. So it's cool. Yeah, and then, then they'll just know him through school.
That's going to work out well for him. Yeah.
So as far as like other villains, like I know what they were going for when he wanted to have Topher Grace like cast as Eddie Brock, but it's like, it's kind of the wrong thing. Like, cause they were going for like he wanted it to be an equal to Peter Parker. Right. And so they're right. And then that's why it's this whole thing, but it's kind of not the point. Speaking of missing the point of Venom, Sony again, entirely missed the point.
So
that movie,
there's awful. Two of them. Have you seen both of them?
No, I saw the first one, and then it was so bad that I didn't even entertain the thought of ever seeing the second one.
So I watched the second one just this past weekend because it's the only Spider-Man related movie that I hadn't seen was Venom: Let There Be Carnage, which came out in 2021.
Yeah,
I watched it over the weekend. If you like Venom, it's okay. If you don't like Venom, it's okay. Like, it's not terrible. Like, it's
like
not
the first
worst.
One you're saying?
Yeah, if you like the first, like
I did not
the first one. I mean, it made like $800 million at the box office. So
there's a lot
well.
Of things that make that much money that I don't like.
Yeah, I understand. But yeah, I mean, it's, I like the Eminem song, Venom. That's a good song.
It's a silly
song. Yeah.
It was Sony has this like unstoppable power to just fuck things up. So like, they're like, oh my God, the MCU is so hot right now. And Spider-Man is so popular right now. We need to crank out something right now that we can, because we can't technically use this kid as Spider-Man. We don't want to like muddy a sequel to the other two. What's the next thing that people will know? I don't know, Venom. And they just whipped up this terrible movie where it's like, to me, the entire point of Venom is the fact that like so far it's always been Peter Parker, you know, Spider-Man, like beating on street level thugs and just kind of like just saving the day for like the neighborhood and like sort of all of these things. And he would he'd get his ass kicked a lot, but he's clever and he'd have the upper hand and his spider sense would always save him. I mean, that's always what would end up happening. Right. Like, and he would just know, be in tune with it.
Right.
So the second they get, it's a physically bigger person who then hates Spider-Man. Because in the comic, he's Eddie Brock is like a writer, and he would write like this, like sort of like journal. Well, like not like a journal, like he would get published, I think. And it was like all these like stories, and they were called like Venomous stories or something cheesy like that. But I think Spider-Man like sort of exposes him as a fraud, something like that. So I forget exactly what happened. Anyway, so Eddie Brock has hatred for Spider-Man at the same time that the symbiote suit's bonded with Peter Parker. So when Peter Parker rejects the symbiote suit, the symbiote itself hates Peter Parker, and it also amplifies it. Peter Parker was strong. It made strong stronger, right? It did all these things. It made arrogance more arrogant, like all of these things. So you take this suit that hates Peter Parker and now has all of his memories and his powers, and then bonds itself to someone that hates Peter Parker. It amplifies that. So he's like maniacally hates him.
Perfect. Yeah.
And can do everything he can do. So he has to, he can't rely on how strong and agile he is. He has to always outsmart him. Mm-hmm. That's the coolest villain you can give to a person that to a superhero, because it's like he has to be ahead of it all the time in order to ever stand a chance.
Yeah.
So then when Sony makes this movie about Venom, it's like, it's just some alien that just looks like this. And that's it. Nothing to do with Spider-Man whatsoever. So yeah. That really is such a letdown. He looks cool. Like, they got him big and it looks like he should and everything.
Yeah.
But talk about missing the point.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's part of, you know, obviously Sony owns the rights to Spider-Man and all the characters movie-wise, but then they have this deal with the MCU. I mean, they can do their own thing if they want to, but they're kind of, it's kind of like they don't want to, like, they have this MCU deal going and they want to keep that going, but they also want to have something of their own. That's why they have this, they call it the SSU, which is the Sony Spider-Man Universe, which right now doesn't have any Spider-Man in the universe. You've got two Venom movies. You've got Morbius. You've got,
well, I saw that.
Okay, Morbius is not as bad as people say it is, but
I just didn't see it.
The problem with it is it doesn't have, like, there's not really any ties to Spider-Man. Well, I don't want to spoil it. There's stuff at the end that's ties.
Well, the thing is, like, I watched the trailer for all these movies. If a trailer is supposed to entice me to see it, and that I just saw that, and I was like, I don't care. And then even I just saw that Kraven the Hunter one. I'm like, this looks like the most boring movie I've ever heard of.
Well, what they're doing is the problem that they're doing is they're making these villains anti-heroes. Like, in all these movies.
Yeah, right.
Because like, Venom is not the villain. Right.
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 But then they have to, because they're the central focus of the movie.
Right.
But then they sort of have to do that.
Yeah. But then eventually their hope is that they're going to build up all these characters. They're going to build up Venom, because there's going to be a third Venom movie, which I think is now going to come out in February of 2020. Wait, I'm sorry. No, it's July of 2024. Kraven the Hunter has been moved to August because of delays with the strike. Yeah. And they're also coming out with a Madam Web movie that comes out next year.
Talk about something I don't care about. Oh my God. They dragged that out in that cartoon from the 90s. Do you remember that? Like, the last season or so was like all of that. And then I was like clocked out. I'm like, I can't. How do you expect a kid to care about any of that?
Well,
or anyone.
Their idea is to put out these movies and eventually introduce a Spider-Man, which we're not even sure who's it going to be. I mean,
I think it could just be a whole other person.
I think it's going to be Miles Morales, because I think,
oh sure,
once
that would actually be the one smart thing they could do at this point.
I think that's what they're going to do, because they're going to make a live action Miles Morales, I would say, in the next 5 years. They've got the Spider-Verse ending potentially the next couple of years. I want to ask you about that. Have you watched the Spider-Verse movies?
I saw the first one on a plane when I was half asleep. Wow. And I actually thought there was something wrong with the screen because of how choppy that movie looks. It is cool. It's like a cool artistic thing. Yeah. But not knowing that, I was kind of annoyed the whole time. So I'm like, there's something going on, like something wrong with this screen. I liked it. It was like a really complicated story that had really nothing to do with the Spider-Man that I grew up and loved. I think it is cool that there's another one. Mm-hmm. Like, Miles Morales is an interesting character, but it's basically the same thing, just rewritten.
Yeah, and he has slightly different powers. Like, he can go invisible, but
it's not so much the powers; it's more about the story. Where it's the story, like,
you're right. Yeah,
it's a family tragedy.
Yeah,
that he has to grow from, and you know, he has to learn how to deal with and cope with, and he sort of takes on the responsibility because of that. You know, so that stuff's all the same. He does have different powers, right? But it's I would think that would be the best move for Sony. Yeah. It would be to do that, because then it's like something at least a little fresh for them in within the world of Spider-Man, and they'll get a lot more people interested in it.
Yeah. And to me, the thing is, I think it would be nice to have a live action Peter Parker be a mentor
to
Miles Morales. The problem is, I don't think Tom Holland, because he looks so young, he's only like 25, 26, 27. Like, him being a mentor doesn't really make sense. Andrew Garfield would be great mentor. Like,
okay, so there's two ways. Yes, there's two ways to look at that, where they have Andrew Garfield or either one of them as like a 40-year-old Spider-Man who's like mentors this kid, or you do like an Obi-Wan Darth Vader thing. Like, he tries to mentor him but fails. Like, if you do it with Tom Holland, it's like he wants to do it, but like messes up.
Right.
That'd be an interesting story. I don't know. Just off the top of my head, I think they want to try and separate from the MCU though. I think Sony wants to make all their own money.
Right.
And not have to share it with Disney.
They do. Yeah.
So that I'm sure that's probably what's going to be, because I don't think Marvel in the turn with Spider-Man is fighting so hard to just kind of keep Peter Parker that I think they'd be like, all right, fine. You can have this Spider-Man. We're going to have this Spider-Man. Do your thing. Maybe they'll cross because of this whole interdimensional whatever stuff they've been doing. Getting a lot of the out of hand, because now they can just solve anything
with the multiverse. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm hoping something happens that sort of closes it off and kind of reel it back. But it was a really cool movie. Like the two movies that deal with it, the Doctor Strange one and Spider-Man. So, those are sort of my thoughts on that.
Yeah. I mean, we touched on a couple things. I would say, so Across the Spider-Verse, which is the second movie, which came out.
Right. I didn't see that one yet.
You need to see that, because I think you're gonna like that movie. Now, granted, Peter Parker, there's many versions of Peter Parker.
Yeah.
And there's many versions of Spider-Man. It's like, honestly, it's like an overload, because like it's Spider-Man from video games and Spider-Man from, there's literally a character called Peter Parked Car. There's a parked car who's Spider-Man. So it's like,
I think everything. The point is to sort of be overwhelming with it for that movie.
No,
I bet it has something to do with how they navigate through the whatever issue the plot line revolves around.
But I think that that the way they've taken that character and all the versions of the character, it's so well done. And like the first movie is literally a comic book come to life. And
that's what I'm saying. Now that I know that it's supposed to look like that, it's cool.
Yeah, it's like one of the most creative things I think I've ever seen. I've told people who don't like superheroes, like, you should just watch this just to like see it. Like it's
a cool movie.
Amazing. Yeah.
And I do like how there's two versions of Peter Parker. One is like perfect and the other one's a big piece of shit.
Yeah, right.
That's neat. Right. Like that's interesting. Yeah. And then that, he's sort of how Miles like looks up to that perfect version of him, but is actually mentored by the asshole, which is a really cool. I think that was like my favorite part of the story is the two of them sort of interacting.
Yeah. And you get more of that in the sequel. And then there's obviously more characters like Spider-Man 2099 is thrown in there, and you get a bunch of, different versions of the character that maybe you have varying degrees of knowledge of. I think you probably have a better understanding than probably most people do.
But, yeah.
I think you'll really enjoy that movie. The first movie did very well at the box office, but it also won an Academy Award. The second movie has made a lot of money at the box office this summer. So it's supposed to be on digital next week. So maybe if you want to check it out that way, or eventually it'll be.
If it's next somewhere. Week, I'll wait.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, it's worth checking out for sure.
Awesome.
We talked about multiverse stuff. Let's talk about No Way Home. I think that is one of, to me, and I want to get your thoughts on it, but like when I first saw that movie, I kind of had an idea that this stuff was going to happen. But I didn't know for sure, and I didn't want to know for sure. But like when I saw like Andrew Garfield's character on screen, I was like, wow, they really did it. Like, and then obviously Tobey Maguire comes in later. To have those three Spider-Man, 20 years of the character on screen in one movie in this amazing story, I think it's one of my favorite movies ever. What are your thoughts on No Way Home?
I like it a lot. I it was that thing like, yeah, I knew they were gonna show up. If they didn't, I would have not been bothered at all if they didn't show up, but they showed up. They had way more screen time than I thought they were going to even have. And it was fine. Like it was like, it actually served a purpose. And it was cool. Like it actually, like, I like how they had a sort of like, they showed up and are like, all right, we're going to do what we do. We're just going to figure this issue out and make it all work for every, cause it affected all of them. So I think it's a great movie, and I think it's cool how at the end it's like you have to see he has to grow up, which is neat because he's been a sort of this doofy kid for however many movies he's been in at this point. So now it's like he finally has to grow up. So we've gotten that full spectrum of him. And that's my favorite thing about the movie is that where he ends up at the end of it. He has to make this really big decision, and he does because he has to do the right thing because he learned that. And it's, they rehash the line, which is cool. They did it in a different way. With great power, there must also comes great responsibility. So that's really cool how they did that and why they did that and what purpose it serves. And that's sort of how that's basically the thesis of the entire movie. Cause at the end of it, he has the power to make it right, and it's a huge responsibility to do so, and it all to his detriment. And he does it. You know, he does what he thinks the right thing to do is. So I think overall it's a great movie. Having the other two Spider-Men there was pretty cool. And yeah, they were, I feel like they're the three of them together. The chemistry was really cool. Like, it was neat to see. Yeah. And it was very cartoon like to me, but in a good way. It's like something that would have happened on that cartoon, but like in a real life application of it.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think the thing about that, what I liked about having the other two Spider-Men take part is they weren't just cameos, you know, like they're
a part of the story,
a good chunk of the movie. And it also gave you, like for Andrew Garfield's version of Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man, it gave you some closure given what happened. I mean, the Amazing Spider-Man 2 is not anybody's favorite Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
But the death of Gwen Stacy, I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, wow, they actually killed, you know,
I knew they were going to do it. I could tell that whole movie, I knew it was going to happen. Just because the second they started talking about the Green Goblin, I was like, I know they're doing this.
Okay.
And then especially how she's dressed in that last scene before it happens. It's exactly what she's wearing in the comic book when she dies, like okay. to a T. So I'm like, oh, yeah, it's coming. But yeah, that was cool. That little moment there where.
Yeah.
And I didn't. That's the thing. Like, it's again, this is MCU always finds great directors and great editing and all that stuff compared to the other movies a lot, because so much is happening at that point that I even forgot about any of that. So it's like the fact that she falls, he goes to get her, and then the goblin like hits Peter Parker and he's out of the way and she's still falling. I'm like, oh yeah. I'm like, holy shit, what's gonna happen? And then you see him dive after. It's like they set it up perfectly where you're not even thinking that's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Because you're so involved in what's going on. And then he dives down, and you're like, oh yeah, he's gonna catch her. It's gonna be awesome. And yeah. He does.
Yeah, I mean the fact that he's able to catch, you know, Tom Holland's MJ, like that kind of gives him closure, but also
and it also really showcases his incredible acting skills.
Yep.
Because that's like he didn't even say anything. Like, right. You know, it's just like in his face. It's really, yeah, it's that part's really cool. And that's an example that move, that whole end sequence at the Statue of Liberty is an example that you can jam a bunch of villains there. You just have to do it right.
Right. Right.
You know, like he's basically fighting the Sinister Six. Like it's not all of them, you know, but you know what I mean? Like it's kind of, that's like the idea, like all of the dudes like together that they have to like figure out how to systematically take down and like, what, like pin them with that universe thing.
Yeah.
That like sends it back. But yeah, that it's a really cool movie. It deals with like an incredibly complex subject that's like really bizarre and out there, but it's done tastefully somehow. That's my take on it.
No, it's very well done. And I do like how, like I said, it gives us closure for the Andrew Garfield version, but also it kind of gives you like, well, they could do Amazing Spider-Man 3 tomorrow if they wanted to. Like, you know, you could bring him back. You certainly could do Spider-Man 4, you know, after with Tobey Maguire, if they really wanted to, which they were going to do Spider-Man 4. They were going to do two more of the Amazing Spider-Man before they decided to pivot and, you know, work with Disney on
do the right thing and
do the right thing. Right. Yeah. But I mean, now that you have, you kind of, now that you have done the right thing, you can go back and
like, that's what I'm saying. So, you can so fix that stuff. You can, I know, I wish, and I know it's not, it doesn't make any sense. I'm not the people that are dealing with the, accounting with Sony and Disney, but it would be like, just let Disney have Tom Holland as Spider-Man and Sony can have Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire all they want, do whatever they want with those movies and just let him continue to be Spider-Man here, because it's, they're gonna need him for a few more movies.
Yeah.
And to not have Spider-Man in the Marvel Cinematic Universe is absurd, because he's like the flagship character.
He's the number one character. It's
you
know, for DC, Batman is the number one character, and then like Superman's next, but like for Marvel, Spider-Man's number one. Like,
yeah.
And that's like, how
could
amazing.
You not have him?
Yeah, that's what's amazing about the MCU is they built the MCU on B and C level characters, and they elevated characters like Captain America and Iron Man and made them as big as like Batman and Superman, which is amazing that they were able to like do that. But then they still had someone like Spider-Man, their A number one guy. They didn't really have access to him until, you know, 2016 or whatever, whenever.
Yeah. Civil I mean, War that's, came out. That's what I, that's when I knew that he was in the right hands after the, with the MCU, they can make me give a shit about Thor. You know what I mean? Like, I remember that first movie came out. I only went to see it because I'm like, oh, cool. They did Captain America, and they already are implying that they're going to tie in that first wave of the Avengers. Right. So I was like, all right, well, this story, I got to see. I mean, I have to see it if I'm going to, at least, but I'm not going to like it. And I actually did.
Yeah.
So it's, well, at least at the time, you know, for what they were sort of building to. But
yeah,
it's cool.
No, I mean, I mean, Thor is a great character in the Avengers. And like, yeah, growing up, I knew who Thor was because of Adventures in Babysitting. You know, like that was Thor got a big run in that movie. It's obviously a joke, but they elevated, you know, all these characters. And then now you add Spider-Man and you add the best version of Spider-Man. And, you know, you've got, you know, all these amazing stories that you've read in the comics that are just waiting to be kind of adapted and brought to this the silver screen or to TV.
They've so far made it a point to like want to do it a little like not different for the sake of different, but different things that they haven't explored yet. You know what I mean? Like different villains, and not just going to go for the big ones. Like we don't, you know, we already did the Lizard and Doc Ock and Green Goblin. And so now there's this, but there's a whole other catalog they can choose from. So I'm excited to see where they go with it.
Yeah, me too. And especially with Spider-Man, I just don't know. Like it's, right now obviously we talked about the Sony universe. They're going to continue to make these movies with the villains who are not really villains in the movies. Eventually you've got to have a Spider-Man in your Spider-Man universe.
Yeah.
So
it's coming. And I think you might've hit it on the head that it would be Miles
Morales. Yeah. That would be cool. So speaking of the movies, so Spider-Man is the number two highest grossing franchise of all time, just Spider-Man by himself. He like Spider-Man movies, which those movies also include the Venom movies and Morbius and stuff. He's generated $10.4 billion just by himself. Now, number one, of course, is the MCU.
Sure.
They have $29 billion out of their 32 movies. Yeah. But like Spider-Man has made more money than Star Wars, just barely. Made more money than Harry Potter, James Bond, Fast and Furious, the Batman movies, the DC Universe, X-Men. So, you know, like seriously, Spider-Man is like legit the number one character in all of comics and the top superhero. And I think that's pretty incredible for a little guy from Queens who's now the number one superhero. That's a pretty cool story unto itself.
It is like even powers. Like Stan Lee bringing it up, like he had a lot of pushback. Those are the sidekicks, the teenagers, you know, the kids that the orphans, like, cause he's an orphan, right? The orphan teenagers, like that aren't the main focus. And like the publishers didn't want it, nothing to do with it. I didn't even think Steve Ditko was like, I don't think this is the right move, but I'll draw it. You know, like, that's a nice summary of it, right? Even the story itself is sort of this underdog thing where it ends up becoming very powerful.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. So one of the last things I wanted to show you, so I did like my top, so I ranked the 10 Spider-Man movies that have Spider-Man in them. I'm not including Venom and I'm not including Morbius and that kind of stuff. So here's my Spider-Man rankings.
Oh, you have rankings. Okay.
Yeah, so I ranked them. It might be kind of hard to see, but it's...
No, I got it.
Yeah, so No Way Home is one. Okay. I have Across the Spider-Verse, which you have not seen that movie. That's my number two. I really think that movie, I think you're going to enjoy that movie because it's very well done. It's not a Peter Parker story, spoiler, but it's a well done.
I didn't think it was.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you think about this list so far?
I'm reviewing.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me see if I got this right. Okay.
Yeah. So I've got... Yeah, I've got the Tom Holland movies are all in my top, you know, five or six.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I would do. Is that what you're asking?
How would you rank them? Yeah.
All right. So I think I agree with your number one.
Okay.
I'd probably keep No Way Home at number one. Number two, I'd go Homecoming. Number three, I would go Far From Home.
Okay.
Then I would go Spider-Man 2.
Okay.
Then probably The Amazing Spider-Man. Right? So we're up to five now?
Yep, you're five.
Okay. Then I would do Spider-Man, like the first one.
Yep.
Then Oh, you know what? I forgot the I'd put Spider-Verse right after Homecoming on okay. that lineup. And I can't say anything about the second one yet because I haven't seen it. So this is, yeah. I mean, this is nine for me, right? And then obviously Dead Last would just in any order, Spider-Man 2 and Amazing Spider-Man 2 and Spider-Man 3. You can yeah. flip-flop those around either way. Because they're, like I said, cop-out answer, equally as bad.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, but I also, in the same breath, I'll say, like, I like all the Spider-Man movies to a certain degree. Like,
there's something to watch, even if it's just visually.
Yeah. I mean, Spider-Man 3 has Bully Maguire, and he's hilarious. Like, that part where he, you know, he's doing the jazz, you know, dancing at the club and singing or whatever, and he's, you know, tells the waitress, he's like,
I know, it's just, I'm you know that shade, thing you where, know? Yeah. yeah, you know, when you don't do something, but you're embarrassed for some reason, like, that's what I feel when that's happening.
Yeah,
because really hard. What if people say it's cringy, right?
It's cringy. It's cringy. Yeah.
There's a lot of that in The Amazing Spider-Man 2, but even less aware of it.
Right.
But in Spider-Man 3, at least I think they know that what they're doing is absurd. Like when he's dancing in the street and all. Yeah. You know. So yeah, I could see what you're saying. So maybe I would put Spider-Man 3 above The Amazing Spider-Man 2 by like that tiny morsel of a margin.
Right.
Thank you. You've enlightened me a little bit on that.
You're welcome. Happy to help you out. As we kind of start wrapping up, is there anything Spider-Man related you want to mention or that we haven't talked about?
Look, actually, it's one of the first things we did talk about. It's really cool. If you look, and it's just this tiny little thing that I think is neat. But look up the original cover to Amazing Fantasy 15. It was actually drawn by Steve Ditko. Because then they had someone else actually pin the cover because Ditko drew the comic.
Okay.
Then they commissioned someone else who I think ended up drawing other Spider-Man stuff or did other Marvel things. It's basically the same cover. It's like more stuff's going on. Like it's busier.
Okay.
And then what ended up being the actual cover is a little more streamlined and like very like sleek. And I think it's really cool. It's just like a nice piece of art. I want to try and find a print of that actually to put up somewhere amongst my things.
Yeah, those old comic covers are such like great art pieces.
Yeah, like, that's what I said. Like when we were kids, we went comic cover collecting basically.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean that's the most important thing you see, and you know that really kind of makes or breaks the sale, really. Yeah. If it's cool. So
maybe one of the last little bits of things that I think is neat is if anyone here knows or listens to Bowling for Soup, we have a song called Killing Them with Kindness on our latest album.
Yep.
And in the music video for it, I'm playing like a superhero who's just like just all these kind gestures for people. It's more of like a superhero, like a Superman, like Incredibles look, like the actual thing that I'm wearing. But there's we had a comic book illustrator named Neil Iannone draw there's the actual comic cover of a kid who's holding the comic book in it. And it's so quick, you can hardly see it, but it's me, but it's the Amazing Fantasy 15 cover, and I'm holding my dog instead of the guy. And then Chris, Gary, and Jared are like the people standing on the buildings, like pointing. Mm-hmm. It's so subtle. I'll email you like the full res, like copy of it, but I think
I would appreciate that, but you know what? I actually have that comic book, and I forgot I have it. I have the comic book. I bought it like several months back, and I have it, and I forgot to bust it out for this episode, but
there you go. That's another thing like Amazing Fantasy 15, a different artist illustrated the cover than actually did the comic book. Direct tie-in.
Wow. I can't believe I forgot about that. I've been so focused on all the Spider-Man stuff. I was like, yeah, cause like it's Super Rob, right? Is that what you're calling?
Yeah. It's just Super Rob, but it's like the cover is just Amazing Fantasy 15, but just me.
Yeah.
It's just holding a dog.
No, that's so cool. And, before we get out of here, like I don't have that photo, but I do have the photo of you in your Spider-Man gear. Let's talk about that a little bit. Yeah. So, so you got the full costume, I guess, right?
I have two of them actually. So there's one that I bought when I was in college so I could like pull pranks on people.
Yeah.
And I did. I would always like, I like ran into a toy store dressed in it fully, and like, and it was like when the movies were out and like the original movies, and I like cleared off a whole shelf of those like silly string web shooters and like ran to the counter, and I was like, hurry up, I need to get these right now, I'm in a big rush, there's a lot going on. And then I was like, oh, I don't have my wallet. It, like, just stuff like that, like just messing with people.
I mean, Spider-Man's an emergency, trying to be friendly neighborhood guy, trying to, you know, protect
the this is before people only did stuff like that so they could film it and put it on Instagram reels. Like, I was just doing it because it would make my friends laugh, you know. Yeah. Like stuff like that. I remember I did like a rock wall climbing challenge in it and won. Stupid things, right? Chasing people around on the college campus and being an asshole. You know, cool. Yeah. So that was one. And then this is actually the other one I bought because it was like, I saw it on like, I don't know how it even showed up, like things you might like on Amazon. It was like $30. And it was this one that looks pretty legit. And I was like, all right,
oh, yeah.
Bought it. And then it's like, it's just, I just put it up on, I mean, I have it and I put like the mask on one of those like foam heads.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And just put it on the shelf over there. Cause I just, this is in my basement where I have, yeah. I can keep all my stuff. Like my studio is set up in here.
Right here.
Cool. I like that. See, yeah, I've got, it's very similar. It's just right over there. Yeah. You can't really see it though. But this is like where all my stuff is. Like all the records and stuff are up over here. And then like all my stormtrooper helmets and Darth Vader and all that, you know, the silly stuff's over there. But yeah, so I've got two of those, and that's just a picture of me on Halloween one year wearing a t-shirt over it like a kid.
No, that's very cool. Very cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. So Rob, it's been great having you on to talk about Spider-Man.
Yeah, I'll do this anytime. I'm sure we could do a whole second episode.
Yeah, no, we definitely could. I had plenty more to talk about. I can't believe I forgot the comic book that I bought that comic not too long ago. Time. Like 2-3 months ago, and I was like, I have it in a box in my closet. And I was like, I'll bust this out in time. And I was so focused on Spider-Man, I forgot about that. So Man. Next time you're on either this podcast or my Let's Freaking Do This podcast, we'll definitely take a look at that and talk about it.
That it'll work for either because it's Bowling for Soup related and Spider-Man related.
There we go. And speaking of Bowling for Soup, you've got some shows coming up pretty soon. You're about to hit the road again.
Yeah.
Actually, you're going to hit the road with Jarrett. And I mean, obviously Jarrett's in both bands, but let's talk about, you got some country shows coming up. You're in a country band. You're from, grew up in Queens. You live in Pennsylvania, but now you're in a country band. What's that like?
It's fun. It's different. Yep. It's something. It's a change of pace, and it keeps me sharp. You know, it's made me a better musician, and I like it. Jarrett writes great songs, so I knew I was going to like it anyway. So it's fun, and it's cool to be back in a van with like friends and doing it. I mean, obviously the Bowling for Soup thing's great. We all genuinely love each other and hang out with each other, but you know, there's something special about doing the van thing and the friendships you make on those trips. And it's been awesome. It's been a lot of fun and playing a different type of music that I've never really dove into like that. And growing up as a huge Eagles fan helped. So, like the old stuff, like the country stuff,
yeah,
but
that's
cool. We've had a really busy summer. This is actually my first 2-week break since February or March something like that. Yeah. So, it's been a lot of that, like every weekend actually up until this, you know, the other day I just flew home. But then we have a few, these shows are coming up in Denton and Wichita Falls, which are Jarrett's hometowns,
right,
which is cool. And then we're doing a show in Dallas at the Granada August 26th. Mm-hmm. And then basically all of September and October Bowling for Soup's out doing a tour bringing Mest and Authority Zero with us. There it is. Awesome. Yeah. So that's covering most of the U.S. And we're doing two festivals. We're doing Riot Fest on the first run, and then we're doing that When We Were Young Fest on the second run. So it's a busy rest of the summer and fall after my nice little 2-week break. And then I'll have some time off again. And then next year's the 30th year. So it's going to be very busy.
Yeah. The 30th year of Bowling for Soup. That'll be amazing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So this is the Getting Old Sucks tour. You're going to be all over the country, and then y'all are going to be in February. Y'all are going to the UK, right? You're playing
in
over
February.
There.
We're doing the UK. We're going over and we're bringing Less Than Jake and a band from Texas called the Vandaliers.
Yep.
Who are awesome.
Yeah. I know the Jason's Vandaliers. A fan. Yeah. Jason, my friend Jason Errol, who is also in Jarrett Ray Reddick. So that's really cool for me, for one of my best friends to be in my, you know, in a band with the people that are my favorite band. So every time I think about that, it's like, wow, is this like real life? But it
and
is.
We like Jason.
Yeah. He's a likable guy. He's pretty talented.
Great. He's great.
Plays a bunch of instruments. Yeah.
He plays 143 different instruments.
That's right. But yeah, so you got Bowling for Soup coming up. You got, you're staying busy, but I would say try to carve out some time and watch Across the Spider-Verse.
I think you'll
enjoy it. And there's going to be another one of those movies. There's going to be a third one. They're going to finish the trilogy. Who knows when it was supposed
to come
out.
I'm sure they will. Yeah. Everything's a trilogy now, right?
Yeah. It was supposed to come out in 2024. Now it's been pushed to unspecified date. So
yeah, just like everything.
Just like everything. So, but not Bowling for Soup. Bowling for Soup will be on the road. Jerry Reddick. So catch them. And
gonna be busy. Yeah. Awesome. And it was, yeah, I'm glad I was able to do this. This is great.
Yeah. No, we really appreciate having you on. And, I know you're on social media. Do you want to plug your social media before we get out of here?
Sure. Yeah. Just on Twitter, X, or whatever it's called now. And and Instagram. It's Rob Pending.
Very cool.
An ode to my old band.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just never change it. Plus we're all still friends. So
yeah, might as well keep it. Yeah. It works. Well, Rob, we're also on social media here at the Watchers. We're on all of the platforms. And of course there's a truck going by as I'm talking. We're on Facebook. We're on X or Twitter. We're on Instagram, and we're also on Threads. We're at Watchers Basement, so check us out there. And hey, also, if you're on social media, please use the hashtag Watchers Basement. Really helps us out. We appreciate it. And if you're watching this now, do me a favor. If you watch this now on YouTube or later, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. That really helps us out. We also appreciate that. And hey, if video podcasts aren't your thing, we're also on audio platforms, so check us out on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and you know, give us a 5-star rating there too, because we deserve it. And maybe we don't deserve it, but give it to us anyway. We really appreciate
deserve it.
Yeah. So once again, thanks to Rob for joining us. And so for Rob, this is Justin saying, hey, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Have a good night. And remember, with great power comes great responsibility.
There must also come great responsibility.
There you go. You got the comic one version. You did it better than me. So
awesome.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks for having me.
Have a good night, everybody.